Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 12, for our thoughts this morning. The reason I'm there, the Lord laid it on my heart, was Lori came home telling me the other day about a gentleman that she had ran into there at her property, and he said, once a person dies, they're dead, that's it. They return back to worm dirt, and that's it. There's no such thing as God or Jesus. There's no such thing as a resurrection. And, you know, there's a lot of ignorant people in the world. I'm not talking about his physical IQ. I'm talking about his spiritual IQ. Apostle Paul said, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now that doesn't mean that, well, we'll just chalk them off and let them go to hell. No, we should try to share the gospel with them and pray that the Holy Spirit convicts them and they are convinced that they need Christ. But I know we just got done with the Resurrection Sunday last week, but you're going to hear about the resurrection this morning also. Listen, one of the things that is so wonderful to us that know the Lord as Savior is that we know for a fact that the grave could not keep Jesus dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we have victory, and we that know the Lord as our personal Savior, we are guaranteed that we're going to have eternal life. But there are people in the world today that don't believe in the resurrection. Oh, they believe in, oh, there's got to be an afterlife somewhere. Just watch National Geographic or watch the History Channel, and you'll see these ancient civilizations, and when they buried their dead, they always left them things that they buried them with for the life after. But yet, lots of folks have a hard time when it concerns the resurrection of Christ. You that are saved, you believe in the resurrection? Amen. Listen, because he lives, we'll live also. Listen, had Jesus not rose from the dead, understand this morning. Had he not rose, he'd have been like anybody else that had ever come before him. We would be yet in our sins. And there'd be no hope. But because of his resurrection, we have life. Amen. Eternal life. So let's read our text, and then we'll get into the message. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. Then cometh unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. The first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning to worship you. Thank you for all that have come. Bless you, Lord, for giving your son to die on the cross for our sins. Father, as I break the bread of life, bless your word. Give me the words to say and bring to my remembrance those things I've studied. May I speak boldly and with authority those truths. Open ears and hearts to receive what you have for them. May your children be encouraged by the word this morning. And Lord, there's one here that's yet to come to Christ. May the Holy Spirit convict and convince the need of salvation before it's too late. Be the prayer requests. Be with this service. And may you get the honor and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to speak to you on the subject of about a confrontation of resurrection this morning. Now, notice in this chapter, the Lord has just been asked questions by the Pharisees and the Herodians about, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And of course, we know what Jesus' answer was. Render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render to God those things that are God's. He's just answered. And here comes the old Sadducees. And they also bring a question concerning the resurrection. Now let's speak just for a moment about who the Sadducees were. They were a part of the ruling Sanhedrin. You see, the Sanhedrin at that time was a ruling body amongst the Pharisees, the priests. And they were also in charge of the commerce concerning the temple, what was bought and sold on temple grounds. But they didn't believe in the resurrection. In fact, they only believed in the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. That's all they believed. They didn't believe in life after death. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in prophets. They didn't believe any of that. They only held to what they believed was true doctrine. Let me tell you something. When you start picking and choosing what doctrine you're going to believe and you're going to support, you are on dangerous ground. You see, it takes the whole counsel of God, not just a piece here and a piece there. You must preach, you must read, you must study, you must teach the whole counsel of God. Paul said this in Timothy. He says, the word of God is by inspiration of who? God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly, thoroughly what? In what? Under what? Good works. So you see, the word of God is profitable. But we have this group here that is going to come to Jesus and going to ask him about the resurrection. And I know they later called him master when they asked a question out of respect. No, they didn't respect him. They were trying to catch him. They're trying to get him to mess up so they could tell everybody, see, he's a fake. Now, I will tell you, there are lots of fakes out there, but I'm going to tell you about the Lord. He ain't a fake. He is God. He is the real deal. He is the Son of God. Listen, he is the Word, the very Word. Sadducees come, and they've got it in their mind. Boy, we got a good one. We've got this hypothetical. And I'll bet you it's going to blow his mind. Well, Jesus showed them he hasn't got a mind that gets blowed. Now, me, you can blow my mind sometimes. Some things I just don't get. Amen. I don't understand a lot of things. You ask me anything about physics, I'll just sit down. I don't know physics. Hey, when I was in school, thank the Lord for my generation that I was raised in. Because when I was in school, to graduate, you only had to have 2 units of math. Only 2. They messed up by giving me a choice. Oh, yeah, I could have took algebra. I could have took trig. Physics, yes, ma'am. General math is what I took. Addition, subtraction, division, and multiplication. That's it. And then I took business math. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that might be tough. But believe it or not, percentages are pretty easy. It's not that hard. And I did pass so I could graduate. But I only had to have 2 units. But my point, what I'm trying to get across to you is, you know, they thought they knew it all. But they were called Sadducees for a reason. Because they were sad, you see. Amen? Simple mind. But that's okay. The Lord will always allow his word to reach its intended purposes. I've had people say, you're just too simple, preacher. Thank God. You ought to be thankful I am simple. I could preach over your head and we would both drown. Amen. I've been in the deep water before. And you know what? I ain't too good at treading water. But you know what? The gospel is simple. What is the gospel? Jesus died. He was buried. And on the 3rd day, he rose again. And any message that is preached better have those elements in the message. Because that's the gospel. And we have been called to preach and teach the gospel. Now, let's get back to our text. Again, then coming to him, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, again. They were just putting on airs. Master, like they truly respected who they were addressing. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brethren, his brother. Now there were 7 brethren, and the first took a wife, dying left no seed. And the second took a wife and died, neither left he any seed, 3rd likewise. And the 7 had her, left her no seed, last of all the woman died also. Oh, don't you think, man, we got this. We got him. Oh, even though it's hypothetical, we got him. And by the way, all they believed in was the law of Moses. That's all. The Pentateuch, that's it. And we have him. And they tell the story of how the law of Moses said that if a brother married a woman and he died and had no children, then the next brother was to marry that woman, take her to wife, and try to bring up seed for him. And did you notice this man? The Bible says there were 7 brethren. And they all ended up marrying her and dying, leaving no children. Now, after my brother died, okay, and then my 2nd brother died being married to this woman. After my 3rd brother died being married to this woman, I'm sorry, nope. You are a black widow. Something ain't right. But listen, stay away is right, Sister Ginger. Run! But understand something. It was in the law. So their question was, Lord, when all of these brothers died and she died and left no children in the resurrection that you believe in, whose wife is she going to be? Oh, they thought they had our Lord in a corner. No, no. Listen to what he says and get this. He says, verse 23, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Verse 24 says, and Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err? Let's read that one more time. Listen to what Jesus said. He puts it back on them. He says, do ye not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Now that word err means to stray or go aside from the right way. Okay? That's what it means to err. And Jesus called them to the carpet and said, not only do you err, have you gotten off the right path, gotten away from the right way, but you don't know the scriptures. Although they thought in their minds that my doctrine is solid, it's the first five books, and that's the gospel. And by the way, the Sadducees didn't really believe that the prophets and other writers of the Old Testament, they didn't believe that they knew what they were talking about. They thought they made things up. No, it was the Word of God. There's a lot of people who will tell you out there today that this is just a man-made written book and that it has lots of errors and that you can't trust it. I live by this book. I stand by this book. And I will always live by it and stand by it. You see, it's very easy to deal with folks that doubt this. And by the way, I'll throw this in and won't charge you. The Sadducees understand. They pretty much didn't believe that God existed. You know why? Because they doubted this. Oh no, they held to the Pentateuch. They doubted God's power. And Jesus has called them to the carpet. How many of us have dealt with people? Brother Randall, I know you have out in California. I have here in Nevada. In Arkansas, I'll be honest, we have a Baptist church on every corner. Most of the people are pretty sound. I said most. There are exceptions. But most of them are pretty sound. But out here, I've had people try to tell me that the Word of God is filled with errors and the only thing that you can trust is only the words that are written and read, because that comes from Jesus. You just want to slap people sometimes. Amen. Hey, I've dealt with some concerning the church that said, listen, if you don't go by the Apostle Paul and his doctrine, you're not living like you should, and the Bible is done. Listen, there's importance. Paul wrote more books in the Bible in the New Testament than any other writer, and he was inspired of God. He was led of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is important, but you have to have all of it, not just some of it. You don't pick and choose what you're going to believe and who you're going to follow. There's only one person I'm going to follow. And he is my Lord and he is my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. Him and him only. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry that goes to school and gets a piece of paper to put in a frame on the wall. Amen? Oh, they're smart. I hope they were smart enough to call on the Lord. Because if that piece of paper is what they're depending on to get them entrance into heaven, they're in a bad way because it won't get them there. Do you know the word? All scripture. Didn't say some scripture. It said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, he says, you do err. You don't know the scriptures. And what did he say? Neither the power of God. Let me ask you this morning, how powerful is God? Does he have any limits? Have you ever read anything about God being limited in power? It's not there. In fact, Word of God, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Won't turn there for the sake of time. But in Jeremiah chapter 32, it tells of his power, how he formed the earth and the heavens with his own hands. You see, if he can do that, then there shouldn't be any problem to raising the dead. Jesus did that in his earthly ministry. There were several that were brought back to life. But what's so sad about that is the family was happy they were brought back, but you know what? Sad they had to die all over again. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Could you imagine? No, I ain't going back. I ain't going back, Lord. I'm here. Let me stay. But it was for the glory of God. Authenticate who he claimed to be. Then it says this. He says, for when they shall rise from the dead. And did you notice? Didn't say when they might rise from the dead. It says when they shall rise from the dead. They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now, first things first. When we as believers die, we don't become angels. I know we see little commercials, and you might even see movies where we have our wings and we're sitting on a cloud playing a harp because we're angels. We're not angels. Okay? So get that out of your mind. But what Jesus is saying to the Sadducees is when you die, those that are married will not be married or given in marriage in heaven. Do you know why? Because, I'm glad you asked. I thought some of you would help me out. I'm glad you asked. Because when we die and we go to be with the Lord, it will not be the same thing that we had here on earth. You see, marriage was ordained of God, and I'm going to get in trouble. Some of you will say, oh, there he goes again. They're going to arrest him one of these days. Marriage is ordained of God and is between a husband and a wife, a male and a female. It isn't between the same sexes, whether it's male or female. Male and female. And I know they're teaching our kids this nonsense, this garbage. We as parents and grandparents, we need to make sure we tell our kids the truth. And if we get a chance to get on the roll for your school board meeting, we are to go. But understand, what was the reason for marriage? Well, many things, because God did ordain it, but basically it's for the physical needs of his creation. But listen, in heaven, it won't be about the physical, it's about the spiritual. Amen? So, when our spouse dies, and listen to me, I've never experienced that. So I'm going to have compassion. I know mom has recently went through it. Just turned out to be a year, the 27th of March for her. And I know she misses Pop, and I know she's looking forward to one day seeing him again. We all look forward to seeing our loved ones. But understand something. Yes, when we have to depart from a loved one, it's painful. But understand, it won't be the same relationship in heaven. You see, I use Lori, my wife. June will be 46. Is it 46 years? Okay. Feels like. You didn't see that. It'll be 46 years. And I love her with all my heart and being. I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed us to be together all these years, and it's by His grace. But listen to me, and she already knows that I don't have to tell her, and she don't have to tell me. When we get to heaven, she is not going to be the apple of my eye. She is not going to be admired by me. But do you know who is? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be the apple of our eyes. He's going to be admired for all eternity by His bride. The church is the bride. He's the bridegroom. But all of our affection will not be centered on our former spouses here on earth. It will be centered on the Lamb of God, the Savior who came and took away the sins of the world. I admire her. I cherish her here. But there, it's not physical, it's spiritual. And I'm going to cherish and admire what Jesus did for me. How about you? Now, notice what he says. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Did you get that? That they rise. What's he speaking about? Those that die in Christ. Notice what he says. And as touching the dead, they that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? Isn't it amazing how Jesus brings them back? Okay, you guys believe in the laws of Moses, the five books, the Pentateuch. These books, let's go back to your book. I'm going to use your own belief and doctrine that you hold high. And he says, you're not reading the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, understand, you can read the story in Exodus 3. It's good stuff. When Moses goes on the holy mount, and God tells him, take his shoes off because where he stands is holy ground, and speaks to him through a flaming bush. And Moses is looking there, and the Bible says that he turned and goes, No. Look. He said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. He didn't say, I used to be, because they're dead now. He says, No. Moses, I'm their God. From yesterday, today, and forever. Understand, he was speaking to Moses, saying, hey, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Still the God. Had they died, there would have been no need for him to use them. But listen, he was the dressing that they lived. Even though they had died many, many years before Moses stood before the burning bush. And I love the next part of that verse. For God is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. You see, I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't you thankful? If you've been saved, you've experienced death. You say, what? Physical death? No, spiritual death. You see, we were enemies of God. Our sin separated us from God. We were dead men walking physically, but most important, spiritually. So, I was dead. But through Christ and his grace and his atoning death on the cross, he resurrected this old dead sinner headed to hell and gave me life. And now he is the Lord of the living. Can the same be said of you this morning? Because he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. See, Sadducees thought, we got him. No. And even though they politely called him master, not understand, just like the Pharisees, just like the Herodians, they hated Jesus. And there are people out there that hate Jesus. They won't recognize who he is. They don't want nothing to do with him or his word. And all I can say is, one of these days, it's going to be too late and they're going to face judgment. Now, I'm going to close. Wow, y'all are getting out early today. 5 after 12. I want to close with this. I pray everybody under the sound of my voice is settled on the resurrection because it's real. I pray everybody under the sound of my voice knows the Lord as their personal Savior. But just in case there's one of you or two of you or many more of you that's yet to be saved, you can come and receive the Lord into your heart as Savior. And I assure you, if you ask him, he'll save you. But understand, if the Lord returns and calls us up, the church raptures us out of here, and you're left behind, it's going to be too late. And then, what about this? What if the Lord delays his coming and you die? You draw your last breath. You go through those gates of death. It'll be too late and it'll be over for you. So I urge you, trust him. He's promised us eternal life. He defeated the very last enemy that we ever have to worry about. And that enemy was death. So have you placed your faith in the risen Savior? Would you stand with me? Father, that's the message. I thank you for this passage. I'm thankful, Father, that you're the God of the living. You're not the God of the dead. I'm thankful, Father, for your atoning sacrifice. And I'm thankful that we're saved by your precious grace through the simple act of faith. I don't know the hearts of those I stand before, but if there's a need, especially concerning salvation, may it be met this morning before it's eternally too late. Deal with hearts. May you receive the honor and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.